This is your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane and famous Exxon gasoline. The wake-up call is also brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday. Now your host, Rick Moore.
Good morning, everybody. Let me finish off all my preparations. I'm all excited about talking about beer. That's right. Talking about beer with my man, Mark Smith. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. People don't often think of the host of the Grateful Dead show actually getting up out of bed earlier than just on Saturdays. Sunday should be your recovery day.
Hey, it's a lot harder to get up on Saturday sometimes than it is Sunday.
Well, you do get a couple extra hours sleep this morning.
That's right.
Mark Smith, more infamously known to the WNRN crowd as the host of Grateful Dead and Friends. That's a PH.
That's right.
Correct. PH, Grateful Dead and Friends. But your day job, as I believe we promote it, is...
I'm the high-quality beer consultant for Virginia Eagle Distributing, and formerly, for the last 10 years before that, a bartender in town, and I was working in Beer Run, so obviously a place that that knows all about good beers and different styles of beers. And I think that part of the reason that I was a good fit for Virginia Eagle was, you know, when InBev bought Anheuser-Busch, the distributors all picked up a portfolio of Belgian beers, and you know, a lot of those guys had lived and breathed AB, the blue and white, for so long, or the blue and red, excuse me, that you know, these Belgian beers were foreign to them. So you know, along with the craft brew industry and the microbrew industry getting so big and popular these days, they needed to bring in somebody that knew a little bit, you know, about these other beers and that could maybe try to help sell them. So My title is consultant, so I'm not technically a salesman. You know, I'm not going out there and like necessarily selling people on these beers, but I'm trying to educate people about the beers and the styles and, you know, food pairings, and I'm doing tastings and stuff like that.
And that's part of what we're going to be doing here this hour.
That's
is
right.
Consulting others and sort of educating. We'll toss that word out there, educating. So that's going to be the topic for the hour today. Let me thank Quince for allowing us to be here. Quince, specializing in home accessories and lighting, and the Mitchell Gold and Bob Williams upholstery and furniture. Quince has a full array of holiday gifts, key on my list these days, holiday gifts and home decorations not to be missed. You can find them on Garrett Street next to Moxie. Quince is open Tuesday through Saturday, 10 to 5, and by appointment if needed. Plenty of parking in the lot across from the entrance makes it easy. Additional information, it's Quince Designs. .com.
Definitely a fan of Quince.
What, do they sell beer?
No, they don't, but they sell couches, and so we have a couch from them that I, when I consume some beer, I usually end up on
an
the couch.
An important piece of furniture for many in the beer tasting or consuming industry. All right, let me answer the phone, because one of our guests, actually two of our guests, participated in separate times during the hour. Andrew Miller. Hey, Andrew.
How are you guys?
I'm doing well. I'm cranking up the phone so we can hear you a little better. Andrew Miller, your title, Alebassador, correct?
That's right.
Alebassador from Independent Brewers United down in Richmond. Thanks for being with us. And the major item I've discussed with you is you carry Magic Hat, correct?
That is correct. Absolutely.
Magic Hat, originally from Vermont, and made its way down here. Let's start with some of the basics. Again, we are going to be talking about specialty beers during the hour today. Mark Smith and Andrew Miller here with me. Andrew, let's pull you into the conversation. What qualifies a beer as a craft beer, and is there any difference between, I think many people are familiar with micro beers. What's the difference if there is one?
Just thrown around pretty loosely. A lot of times, you know, there's certainly some numbers involved, whether you're a micro or a craft brewer. You know, you brew certain amounts of beer every year, and you know, but I think you know, for most people's general perspective, you know, if you're a craft or a micro brewer, you know, you're a smaller brewery producing good good ales and lagers with, you know, certainly, good ingredients and, you know, that ranges from, you know, you could be a little backyard brewery, you could be a little, hometown brewery, or, you know, you could be Sam Adams, I suppose, who's the daddy of the, craft brew industry, I suppose. So,
Mark.
You're not a big domestic brewery like Coors, Budweiser, Miller. You're a little bit smaller, producing putting a little more thought in your brews, I suppose.
All right, Mark.
Well, the definition that I know it of craft and microbrewery, basically they can be one and the same, but a microbrewery produces a limited amount of beer, usually about 15,000 barrels or about 475,000 gallons per year or less. A craft brewery is a brewery that they brew their beer using traditional methods without adjuncts such as rice or corn, and with an eye for what's distinctive and flavorful rather than just mass appeal. So you can have a craft brew be a microbrew or vice versa, and some of the macro brews could even be craft brews, but typically, you know, they're the macro brews that we know it, like he just discussed, like Budweiser and Coors, et cetera, you know, are usually just making light lagers.
What about Sam Adams? Because I think for many people, Sam Adams is now 30-plus years old. I think we go back to the mid-70s when they sort of stepped forward. Are they still considered a micro beer or a craft beer?
I'd say they're probably a macro brew that is, you know, dabbling in the craft brew world, although they're really, really good at marketing. That's really their thing. You know, they talk about their brewery, but they actually get a lot of their brews made in different places. So, you know, when you think of Sam Adams and a place that, you know, is selling beer as this one magical, you know, brewery, it might not be exactly as it seems, but they do a great job with advertising, that's for sure. And then, you know, that's one of the things that Magic Hat does a great job with too. Their advertising and their marketing is phenomenal, and they really have done a good job of, you know, getting themselves involved in the music industry. So I would say that, you know, while Sam Adams, you know, markets their beer for just about everybody, you know, Magic Hat probably markets a lot more towards the younger concert goer. Does that sound accurate to you, Andrew?
Well, you know, Magic Hat's always been, you know, they started out in Burlington, very involved with the local music and arts community. Actually, you know, sort of donating kegs to local arts folks to, you know, raise money for their endeavors, and, you know, it kind of has grown from there. You know, certainly the culture that we lots of support, and, you know, the folks that drink our brew are sort of the younger, you know, concert goers, I guess you might say. But, you know, we certainly like to be involved with the music and arts scene. You know, people like good beer, and we like good arts and good music, so it goes hand in hand.
Andrew, by the way, are you on your cell phone?
I am. Are you having a hard time hearing me?
Well, you're fading in and out. So stand straight, stand tall, and don't don't wave back and forth.
Let me run outside of the rain here. See if you can hear me a little bit better.
Yeah. One of the things you know, we talk about Magic Hat being a good marketing company. One of the things that I find interesting is how a company moves out of its region. Magic Hat originally from Vermont, I believe, right? From Burlington area. So how does a company like that, two questions, how old is Magic Hat so that I can get a feel for how long it's taken to get to the Virginia area, moving out of, you know, from the Northeast? And are there any, is it strictly the marketing that's done that? Have there been particular marketing ploys to help them leave that Northeast area?
Well, you know, we think the liquid's pretty good too, but, you know, certainly marketing is a part of growing any business. You know, Magic Hat has been in Virginia for about 4.5 years now. You know, moving down south slowly, but surely, you know, and It's a little bit of both. You know, if you can't grow a product if it's not a good brew, strictly on marketing alone. zone. So definitely, you know, the beer has to be good. And, you know, you have to give people a sense of discovery almost. You know, we do a lot of different brews. We're constantly evolving, always something new from Magic Hat. So, you know, people like new beers. Yeah, they certainly are our most popular brews, number 9, as you guys well know. Yeah, very accessible. It's a little bit of both. Yeah.
All right, you don't need to sell me on the beer. I understand you don't need to sell me on the beer, but part of it, because I've had it and I enjoy it, and the variety 12 pack I find to be, you know, really tasty but well marketed as well. And Mark, help me with this. But when you start a craft beer, I would think that you have to create it with a number of people in mind. If you're creating it for 100 people, then you're not going to do anything but do it out of your basement. If you want to sell it to the people who have that sort of quality taste in Vermont, that's one thing. But how do you reach that same percentage of people where you move it to New York, and then you move it to Massachusetts? And then you move it to Maryland, and then to Virginia, so that you can expand the number of people who are consuming it, along with, you know, with not overwhelming yourself with the cost to transport it.
Well, I'd say part of that, you know,
I think a lot of it is certainly word of mouth. You know, your drinkers are social people. You know, obviously the bar environment is a social environment, and you know, if people are out having something. They really enjoy drinking, you know, that word spreads. Magic Hat in particular has been very fortunate with that. There's a great buzz when Magic Hat comes into new areas about the brew, and you know, that certainly helps to carry the business, I suppose. You know, because of its accessibility, it is good liquid, and you know, that word spreads. I think that happens with a lot of beers. You know, people certainly in smaller breweries that are expanding. You know, if the beer is good and people are drinking it and really digging it, you know, that word spreads pretty quickly. I think that happens with a lot of different breweries, not just Magic Hat. So.
All right, 11:13 here on the Wake Up Call as we talk about specialty beers. That's Andrew Miller from Independent Brewers United in Richmond. We're going to be moving, and we're going to keep Mark Smith here, who is the high-quality beer consultant at Virginia Eagle Distributing in our area. And Hugh Sisson will be joining us in just a moment. He's the owner?
Owner and founder of Clipper City Brewery.
Clipper City Brewery in Baltimore, Maryland. So, Andrew, keep listening if you like, and maybe call me back a little later in the program. I got a couple questions for Mark, and I need to open up the phone line for Hugh, all right?
Okay, great. Thanks.
All right, thanks
man.
All right, we'll be looking for Hugh Sisson to call us up soon from Clipper City Beer in Baltimore, Maryland. Mark, get back to advertising for microbeers and craft beers. You mentioned the music festival scene. Do the young, because I envision that as a younger crowd.
Well, that's what I've certainly experienced in my festival going, and honestly, that's the first time I had tasted a Magic Hat was, I believe, at the All Good Festival. It might have even been at Bonnaroo, but it's been so many years since that first Bonnaroo, I can't really remember.
And a lot of dead brain cells in between.
It was kind of some fuzzy memories anyway. But, you know, I remember tasting that Magic Hat, and, you know, it's a pale ale, or they like to call it not quite a pale ale, but it's got like a hint of... You know, I want to say apricot, but they don't like for you to use that word. But it does have like a little bit of a fruity quality. And, you know, it is refreshing during a hot summer festival, you know, when you're out partying. And it's definitely a more flavorful brew than, you know, a Coors Light or, you know, some of those other macro brews that you could be drinking. And so I think that what he was saying is true, you know, word of mouth. Like if you go to a festival in a state that, you know, they have this beer and then you go back to your home state, well, you might mention it to, you know, your bar owner or, you know, somebody at the grocery store. And then, you know, that's where it's lucky for some of these micro brews to, you know, get themselves together with a macro brew distributor like Anheuser-Busch, because, you know, as what you were saying, is expensive to take it all around the country, and it's a lot easier for a company like, you know, Virginia Eagle, or, you know, Anheuser-Busch in general, that has, you know, trucks going from state to state and all over the country to transport your beer. So that's when the microbreweries start, you know, selling the distribution rights to the bigger companies so that they can get them out to other states. And, you know, if you think about Burlington, that's a pretty small little city. I mean, similar to Charlottesville, but, you know, Burlington's
but not surrounded by the immediate county. I mean, I've been to Burlington many, you know, people think of Charlottesville and they sort of mentally expand it to a huge section of Albemarle County. Burlington doesn't have quite the same numbers. But when we talk about the festival, you know, and I say that it seems like to be a younger crowd at the festival, you know, working at the, my place of business, I don't hide that I work at the market. We get sort of the secret shopper people testing us to make sure we're carding people all the time. When the younger-looking individual comes in and goes to pick up their six-pack of Bass or six-pack of Clipper City, now that Hugh Sisson's on hold listening to us, you know, even obviously we should card all of them all the time, but that's a surefire signal that that person, very strong chance that they're there to catch you, to see if you are carding, because typically the younger person is, they're not into the specialized beer. They're, you know, they want their Bud Light Lime, or what I call the, you know, the tea for the 16-year-old.
Right.
That is just, you know, it just seems to be, I'm very surprised to find that the younger age beer drinker would have something with such a different and stronger taste. It's not as bland as many of the other beers might be. So how does this happen?
I think it's all about where you start. I mean, when I was in high school and me and my buddies were trying to get our beers underage, you know, we'd get them any way we could, and sometimes that meant stealing your dad's, you know, Coors out of the fridge, or, you know, getting everybody to pony up some money and get some, you know, ne'er-do-well on the street corner to go in and buy you some beer.
It had a little more watery taste.
Exactly, and that's what, when I started, you know, in high school, tasting these, you know, macro brews, I hated them, and, like, I couldn't understand why people liked them so much, and then once I got to college and was of, you know, drinking age, I was able to go out and try some different things, and, you know, there was a bar in Radford where I went to school called Chili's, and they always had a really awesome beer selection, so I got to go try a lot of different things, you know, and that's where, like, people wonder about the education you get in Radford. Well, like, it's definitely led me into the beer industry, and there's nothing wrong with that, you know, everybody needs beer, but I think, you know, at some of these festivals, when you get an opportunity as a youngster to try some of these, you know, these more flavorful beers, then, you know, of course you're gonna like that, and you're gonna want to go out and try to get them where you can, you know, and once you're of age. And, you know, I think there's a complete difference, you know, in the styles of beers between the ale and the lager, which is what most of the macro brews are. And, you know, I think those ales, you know, there's a huge trend in people wanting to get them. I think seasonals and IPAs are the two fastest growing styles in the craft brew, microbrew industry. And, you know, that's a very, like, an IPA is a very hoppy, bitter beer. And, you know, you have to develop a little bit of a taste for it. But if you go to a rock festival and you get a Star Hill Northern Lights or a Clipper City Loose Cannon, you know, I think a lot of people, once they taste that, you know, at first it might be a little bit of a setback. But when you acquire that taste, that's all you want from then on out.
All right, 11:19 on the wake-up call. Let's do this. And when we come back, Hugh Sisson will be with us. Markets of Tiger Fuel forecast for Central Virginia and the Shenandoah Valley. It's a rainy morning and early afternoon as well. Cloudy by 4 o'clock. And be careful because the sidewalks are icy, even if the roads are not as much. High today, 35 to 40. Cloudy tonight. Lows, 30 to 35. Mostly sunny tomorrow. Highs in the low 50s. Right now, it's rainy just about everywhere in our listening area. 35 in the Valley, 33 in Lynchburg, 39 in Richmond, and 34 in Charlottesville.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call, brought to you by The Hook and by the Markets of Tiger Fuel, a refreshing pause on your journey to anywhere with locations all over town. Now back to your host, Rick Moore.
All right, a big shout-out to Martin Hardware for being with us today. Martin Hardware is Charlottesville's in-town hardware store, 941 Preston Avenue in Charlottesville, and they are your headquarters for gifts for guys, as well as anyone else who needs to get the job done. Martin Hardware has hand tools, power tools, flashlights, work gloves, and yard supplies. That's Martin Hardware, not a big-box store, but your neighborhood store. Parking right in front of you to get in and out in 5 minutes. Martin Hardware. 941 Preston Avenue. And don't forget, if you have an iPhone or an iPod Touch, if so, you can listen to WNRN anywhere in the world. Just head to the App Store and search for WNRN. Be sure to tell your out-of-town friends about the station you love. Anywhere there is a cell phone service provider or Wi-Fi, there's WNRN. And the app is free. Download it now to your iPhone or iPod Touch. All right, back in action, Mark Smith. Here, you recognize the name from WNRN's Grateful Dead and Friends, but he's also the high-quality beer consultant for Virginia Eagle Distributing.
Ha.
And now, I think we have Hugh Sisson on the phone. Hugh?
How you doing?
Thank you so much for joining us. Hugh Sisson is the owner and founder of Clipper City Beer in Baltimore, Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for tuning in. And checking
it
out with us. How long has Clipper City been around?
14 years, as of about 6 days ago.
Seriously?
Seriously.
all right, so, and this was a question I was asking. I don't know if you heard Andrew Miller, representative of Magic Hat. Where can Clipper City be found now, and how did you grow from the Baltimore neighborhood out to the region?
We're currently in about 18 states, primarily up and down the East Coast. We work a little bit west, Ohio, Indiana, Illinois, Michigan, but mostly just up and down the coast. Started for the first 5 or 6 years, we were pretty much just local. Then we decided that we needed to sort of create a brand that we could take to a little larger geographic footprint, so we developed a brand called Heavy Seas, which is primarily what you will see anywhere outside of the Maryland DC pocket. So that was the product line that got us into all the 18, 19, I've lost track, states.
Well, you do, again, we keep referring back to the marketing, how to get the particular beer to grow. And one of the things I find interesting about the Clipper City brand is excellent, entertaining packaging.
Uh-huh.
It's the, for folks who aren't familiar, it's sort of the pirate. It's almost comical, and I don't mean that in a bad way, but it has sort of the cartoonish pirate on the front, and the names go with that as well.
Well, it certainly has a fun feel. I mean, you know, and let's keep this all in perspective. You know, I manufacture and sell beer. This is not brain surgery. Nobody's dying. This, you know, if you can't keep this light, if you can't have fun doing what I do, it's time to stop. So we've very much kept all of these concepts on the lighter side, as far as I'm concerned, that's really the only way to go. And I'm pretty sure that, you know, if you talk to the guys at Magic Hat, which I'm sure you just did, they're kind of emphasizing the same thing.
And they are, for people who, and I don't want to push any particular people. I'm not here to represent Clipper City or Magic Hat. These folks are just, you know, people who are taking advantage of the time to come on and talk about their business and helping me out because I found them to be quality, knowledgeable folks who I thought might fit into the hour. But if you look at the packaging, even if you choose not to purchase it, obviously everyone's choice, it'll make you smile to look at it and give you a little chuckle in your day. And I would assume, Hugh Sisson from Clipper City Beers, that's part of what you're trying to do.
Absolutely. You know, one of the greatest compliments that I got in the very early days of releasing the Heavy Seas brand, when we began to initiate this sort of pirate theme, was I walked into a retail store and the owner said, guess what, Hugh? They, you know, the guy came in the first time and he bought the he bought the six pack for the packaging, and then the second time he bought the six pack for the beer. So, you know, if you can get him to pick it up the first time around, just because of the way it looks, that's half the battle.
And I would think that many people, that's what makes your brand grow to 18 states.
Well, there's no doubt about it. I mean, without being cynical, packaging is a hugely important component to developing a brand. I mean, it conveys a graphics message, which hopefully ties to your brand's positioning and where, you know, what is the personality of the brand and how do you want that to go forward. If it's consistent with what the branding is all about, then you have, you know, what I would call quality packaging. If it's inconsistent, then you're going to have a long, bumpy road.
Mark Smith from Virginia Eagle, as I look through my notes real quick, because I want to say the former name. It used to be J.W. Sieg, but they've now sort of they found themselves marooned and grouped together to to do their thing. Is this a national U.S. thing where the macro beer has sort of become bland, and I say that with my own negative terms, not yours, but where the macro beer is for, you know, the basic guy or girl, and the craft beers for those who have, it's like, do you want to eat at McDonald's or do you want to go someplace else? So is this a United States thing or is this more of a worldwide issue? Mark?
Me? I think it's worldwide, and I think the American microbrew and craft brew industry is, you know, going leaps and bounds above a lot of the other, you know, beer industries around the world. I think a lot of the historic, you know, industries such as like Germany and Belgium have stuck with their same style and don't take risks like a lot of the, you know, the Americans do. But, you know, the styles of beers that are coming out of some of these craft brews are just amazing. And, you know, some of the things that you wouldn't even think about are, you know, in terms of like a style of beer, like a smoke beer, which is a rauk beer, or, you know, using some of the different, you know, ingredients that they use, it just makes for a completely different experience. And, you know, my boss likes to say that there's an ass for every seat. And, you know, he thinks that, you know, those light beers, you know, there's a lot of people, obviously, that love those beers. And, you know, I think if you're going to go, you know, mow your lawn and it's a hot day, you know, Budweiser's probably a pretty good beer to have. It's not the beer I gravitate towards, but, you know, it's a different style than what I usually like.
Bud Light did not reach the numbers that they have by turning off a lot of people.
Exactly. And that's why they're, you know, the industry leader, and that's why InBev bought them to make this huge, you know, beer conglomerate. But, you know, there's still a lot to be said for these smaller breweries that are stealing their thunder a little bit. And, you know, Hugh Sisson has made some fantastic beers. Furthermore, he's had to, you know, go fight against, you know, his local government to get his beer to be accepted in different states because of different laws that the different states have about how much alcohol you can have in beer.
Yeah, Hugh, I want to get to that in just a moment, but Mark Smith actually kind enough to bring me something to taste this morning because, you know, I prefer something that's a little different, but even with that, I have my personal favorites and things that I kind of raise my eyebrow towards. One of the things, by the way, Hugh, my store carries some Clipper City beers.
Thank you very much.
Just to get the high five over the radio.
Okay.
By the way, if somebody wants to call in with a question or a comment, you're free to do so. Sean McCord may end up taking your question and passing it through, but 979-0919 is an open line for you to dial up, 434-979-0919. As we talk about specialty beers, not just a particular brand like the Clipper City or the Magic Hat, but the theme of the industry and the niche, the genre. So dial up with your question or comment, 979-0919. Mark Smith here and Hugh Sisson. All right, so Mark, what do we have first? These are Clipper City beers, correct?
Yes, sir.
All right, so we have Loose Cannon.
Yep.
All right, and it is, to me, it looks, it's not the typical golden beer. It has just a little more flavor on the nutty side, and I don't know if it has any nut flavor to it at all, but it's not, it's more of a, I don't know. I'm crappy at describing colors. Where's Katie when I need her for her?
I'd say it's kind of an amber.
Amber? All right, I'll give it an amber. So, do I smell this? Is this a wine thing, Hugh, where I smell them and everything first, or do I just toss it back?
No. This you wanna get a good old sniff on this one. It should be highly aromatic with a very nice sort of citrus characteristic to it.
And you know, I think on the next one I'm gonna do that first, so it's not embedded in my head as to what I should be smelling.
Okay.
But I will say that it does have beer, and all right, I'll go with the citrusy part. It almost has tangerine more than orange.
Uh-huh. Okay.
You know,
we all interpret different flavor signatures differently because we all have different biochemistry. But having a citrus characteristic in some of the American-style IPAs is fairly common because American hop varieties tend to have that sort of overall aromatic flavor profile.
All right, toss me that because many people, and I think that listeners who are still with us and who are joining in because somebody said, hey, they're going to have a beer on air. Hop. There's a hop and what else? Because people are like, hops, what's the one that looks like a Brussels sprout?
That's a hop.
And so what does it bring to the beer?
Hops contribute two things. They contribute aroma, which is part of what you're picking up as you smell the loose cannon right there. The other thing that hops add to beer is bitterness. Bitterness is unfortunately a much maligned and overlooked, but I think very necessary component of flavor. And it's the bitterness in the beer that I think is the structural element that makes it work well with certain kinds of food.
But the word itself can turn people off. It's
what, hops?
Bitter. No.
Oh, bitter.
It's bitter.
Oh, yeah, okay. And as I said, I think that's very unfortunate. I mean, you know, your tongue's ability to taste is limited to only four things: sweet, salt, sour, and bitter. That's it. So if you carte blanche remove bitterness from your acceptable flavor profiles, it's like denying 25% of one of your body's senses. I certainly hope there's nobody in our listening audience who would drive a car half covering one eye, so why would you allow yourself to automatically negate 25% of one of your senses?
Mark Smith, I can see that we need to take a trip up and have a night out on the town with Hugh Sisson.
Oh, it's a good time, I promise you that. I've done it one time, I had a blast.
Oh, yes, I believe that should happen. Let me do this real quick, guys. I need to give out some slaps to C&A Camp for supporting us today. They're a part of proceeds go to Charlottesville Area Community Foundation. C&A Camp offers table linens, letter charms, organic nail polish, and other hair accessories and pet accessories. You can find C&A Camp in Charlottesville. For more info, it's 434-973-5555. They are a supporter of Fair Trade. C&A Camp, 973-5555. All right, so which one was that, Mr. Smith?
That was the Loose Cannon. It's an IPA, which is India Pale Ale. And
is that the what's the proper title? Is the number one piece, the flagship? Is that your flagship, Hugh?
Absolutely.
That's the flagship. So, but how many beers do you have to have before you can go to somebody and say, please help me distribute my stuff?
Oh, gosh, you know, that's a very difficult question to answer. I mean, basically what it comes down to is, from the distributor's standpoint, you know, if you could go to them with one SKU that they could do a huge amount of tonnage on with just one product line, they would take that in a heartbeat because that makes their job so much easier. The truth of the matter is the consumer, and especially these days the craft beer consumer, is all about what's new and variety. So you can no longer just try to focus on one product. So we do probably all in about 22 different kinds of beer over the course of a given year. But the idea is that the more we develop our branding with all these other interesting styles, the more it actually begins to pull along our flagship product, which is the Loose Cannon.
All right. Mark Smith, Virginia Eagle Distributing. You are the high-quality beer consultant. So these are all high-quality beers that we are consulting with today.
Correct.
One would make that assumption, yeah.
I don't know. I've seen him on some Saturday mornings and wondered if the hangover was due to having so many not high-quality beers. All right, we're having another Clipper City beer. Peg Leg. See, I adore the names. So, Heavy Seas, is that the first one we had?
That's the Heavy Seas, the Loose Cannon. Those are all part of our Heavy Seas brand.
Oh, Loose Cannon was the first one we had.
Right.
Again, a pirate-ish name and marketing pictures on the side. And this is Peg Leg.
Right.
This has more of a...
What you should get on this one would be...
It's darker. It's not quite the Guinness stout where I feel like I'm going to have my tongue coated.
Well, but this is still going to give you a
lot of this looks more like a Pepsi,
dark
actually.
Chocolate and coffee flavors. The other thing you're going to get from this one is this is an 8% beer, so it kind of shows itself in layers. And believe it or not, as it warms in your glass, you'll actually get more and more flavor.
All right, now I don't want to say anything bad about the guest stuff, but I will say that I'm not a fan of coffee.
Okay.
I don't drink. I don't know that I've ever been inside a Starbucks except to buy a newspaper.
Uh-huh.
So that puts me in such a small class there. So this would be a beer that I would purchase after I've already had two beers.
Right.
Well, and what's nice about his Heavy Seas line, like, you know, if you think of your typical macro brew beers, they're all around, you know, between 4% and 5%. But most of the Heavy Seas products are, you know, up in the 7-8%, and then they've also done a great job with what they call the Mutiny Fleet. And the Mutiny Fleet are these 22-ounce bottles that they do, and those are generally up in the 10%, so almost a triple, you know, in comparison to what most people are used to with, you know, your dad's beer being like a Bud or a Coors or a Miller Lite or whatever.
Hugh, let me ask you, as we keep talking about the alcohol percentages,
right.
Give me a little explanation on that. Mark mentioned that you had to sort of battle your own state laws and legislature to do this, and then I'm curious about that story, and then how you expand to other states because different states have different beer laws.
Well, the as far as our personal history, Clipper City is my second brewery. My first brewery was a pub in Baltimore. And that became the first brew pub in the state of Maryland. We were the ones responsible for getting the laws changed about 24 years ago in the Maryland legislature that made brew pubs legal in the state of Maryland. And then we were the first ones. We started brewing there in 1989. So that was really the first major legislative hurdle. The issue as pertaining to distribution is sort of a historic thing. In 1933, when the federal government repealed prohibition, the federal government looked up and said, you know, this is way too crazy for us to try to mandate this stuff on a national basis. So they instead threw all of the regulation for alcoholic beverages to the states, and in many instances, the states then turned around and threw it all to individual counties. So as we deal with opening distribution in different areas throughout the country, everywhere we go, we're dealing with a completely different set of regulations and rules and laws. I mean, there are some consistencies, but actually not a ton. Tax rates are different. Regulations are different. There are states that we are selling in now that we couldn't sell in 3 years ago because they had alcohol level limit. So it's, you know, it's been interesting. You know, one thing that's certainly poses a challenging dynamic is in the state of Virginia, for example, and correct me if I'm wrong on these numbers here, Mark, but probably 65 to 70% of all the beer is sold in the grocery stores. Well, in the state of Maryland, grocery stores don't even sell beer. So it's a totally different market dynamic pretty much everywhere you go.
Now, that sounds about accurate with us. You know, I know our biggest sales at Virginia Eagle or with Food Lions, but, you know, that's not typically in my area, and, you know, the craft brews are not getting sold there as much, but, you know, what I deal with more is beer and wine shops and restaurants, you know, on-premise places. And
the higher-end grocery stores.
Exactly, like a Whole Foods or a Foods of All Nations.
Right.
All right, 11:40 here on the Wake Up Call. Hugh, hang on. I need to take my quick 11:40 break. Hugh Sisson, owner and founder of Clipper City Beer out of Baltimore, Maryland. Mark Smith, high-quality beer consultant, which we're tasting a few of, from Virginia Eagle Distributing.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call, brought to you by the Markins of Tiger Fuel and by The Hook, an innovative weekly on newsstands every Thursday. Now here's Rick with what you can find in this week's Hook.
Oh, what happens when citizens want to exercise their right to free speech, but would be trampling on private property rights to do so? The Hook takes a look at Representative Tom Perriello's office, his protesters, and the business owners who just want space for their customers. There's trial news, extortionist, embezzlement, and murder for hire, and photos from fish. The Hook, registration open every Thursday. And Blue Ridge Graphics with us today, supporting Sunday Morning Wake Up Call. You can find them at Meade Avenue and East High Street in Charlottesville, providing custom t-shirts and sportswear, plus promotional items for schools, organizations, and businesses. That's Blue Ridge Graphics, 296-9746, and brgtshirts.com. And don't go anywhere. Drew Thompson just walked in the door. That's Les Temps Perdue on at noon. All right, boys and girls, back with Hugh Sisson and Mark Smith. And I had a big... Oh, I was going to ask this question about sort of the difference in packaging and styles, because... for those who are familiar with the local beer here, Star Hill, they seem to appeal to the Grateful Dead guys.
I'd say that's pretty accurate. Mark Thompson was he went to a fair number of Dead shows in his day, and I've actually had him on my show to do some you know, some beer tastings and talk about his Dead experiences.
And Hugh, I'm curious as to your, I mean, obviously I would think that everyone wants to appeal to the greatest number ever, but you?
Yeah, Hugh went to UVA.
You went to UVA?
Yeah.
What year?
I was there in grad school in 79 and 80.
You're too early for me. I didn't realize you were so old.
I am. I'm antique.
Antique. But,
I'm a veteran of the war.
You know, did you start Clipper City with a particular group in mind?
Not really. I mean, again, I've been doing this professionally for over 20 years now. So when I got started doing this, there really weren't a whole lot of other craft brewers around. And the focus, you know, there was a relatively small number of enthusiasts, you know, who would come out of the woodwork just because you were making something that wasn't a macro brand. So there was, you know, I'd say that the market has certainly gotten significantly more sophisticated. It's certainly gotten more competitive. And because of that, people have had to sort of, you know, choose certain specific demographics or consumer profiles with certain interests to sort of align their products with. What we haven't taken a particular, you know, musical theme per se. What we've tried to do, and there's actually a graphics change which is going to be coming along soon, which I'll be sending along for you to take a look at, Mark. But that will, I think, even better crystallize what we're kind of all about. We're sort of combining that sort of swashbuckling attitude with the sort of the attitude of, if you've ever been a sailor, if you look out one day and you see nothing but white caps and you decide that you're going in, baby, well, that's kind of where we are, sort of from a mental standpoint.
As someone who grew up on the water,
uh-huh.
Damn, that's dangerous.
So you get the analogy.
I do, indeed.
Yep.
All right, we have another beer here, 11:44 in the Wake Up Call. That's a good Sunday start for me. All right. Winter Storm. Now, I haven't seen this
beer.
One.
This is our gold medal winner at the World Beer Cup. It was our Ooh. First international gold medal.
And so this, all right. Now, this looks more like my standard style. This looks to be a good red-hearted beer.
Yep.
Now, I have no idea what it tastes like. Yeah,
well, you're about to find out, I hope.
I love the smell.
Uh-huh.
All right, here we go.
Yum.
I'm not going to give you a description on this one yet, because I think I've sort of stolen your thunder.
Believe me, that happens every week. this one, let me know where I can buy my six-pack.
It's a good beer.
It is a good beer, and this is sort of where I start with, and every beer drinker starts somewhere. I mean, you go in, you look at the menu, and you look to see, you know, you go to your standard restaurant that may not have some of the craft beers, but you're looking to see if they have a Sam Adams, a Sierra Nevada, a Star Hill for the local thing, because you know, or you just look at the Budweiser or the Coors Light, which may be the worst beer of all time. It's condensate. I mean, it's nothing but bubbles.
Well,
sorry, you don't make that, do you?
No, and I really have sort of taken a professional position that I never really talk about other people's juice.
And I'm not very professional, so I can do that.
No, you're not in the beer business.
So, all right. So, what? Tell me a little bit more about Winter Storm.
Winter Storm. We call this one Category 5 ale. Anybody who's experienced a hurricane should get the illusion. It's 7.5% alcohol by volume, so it's got some testicular fortitude. as I mentioned, it's a gold medal winner at the World Beer Cup. It's got a really nice, rich malt flavor profile, balanced with some very subtle hop aromatics up front, and a really nice, lingering sort of clean bitterness in the finish. This is something for matching with a really good wedge of about 10-year-old white cheddar cheese with some crusty French bread, a roaring fire, and you know your miniature long-haired dachshund curled at your feet.
I have a hound dog, but I like all of that.
We can make that work.
Yeah. Mark, you had mentioned to me before we started, actually, you know what? I'm going to pass this on to Sean McCord, who mentioned this to me, but you're standing across from me. But the conversation was about the variety of beers and where was this going. And conversation came up about tours of breweries. And again, I think I mentioned early on about wine tasting and how this has almost become sort of the wine tasting. And Sean provided me with something, and I'll toss this out. I know nothing about it, but beerzonetours.com, which provides tours and transportation to breweries and pubs and various events. Because this does seem to be growing, much like the wine issues were 25, 30 years ago, where you would go to California and you would drive up and down the coast and hit the variety of vineyards. And it seems that we're starting to do this now with specialty beers.
I'd say that's very accurate. You know, here in this area right now, you could go to four microbreweries within about 30 miles of each
really?
Other.
Really? I can think of three, so toss them all out.
Star Hill, Devil's Backbone, Blue Mountain, and South Street.
Ah, yes, South Street.
So I wouldn't be surprised if there wasn't a some sort of brewery tour bus that starts up in the near future that will take people to these different breweries. Obviously, be responsible, don't drink and drive. But you know, along with the popularity of these breweries, you know, you're going to get other businesses that will you know, complement them that will start. And I think that that's a great idea is for a you know, a tour bus to do the brew tours. And you know, then you have like brewery festivals. Like I know at Clipper City, they did a beer and bacon festival, which apparently was, you know, sounds on paper, sounds awesome.
I would think you'd have every 300-pound guy in the area there.
Sorry?
You would have every 300-pound guy in the area at the beer and bacon festival.
We had 23 kinds of bacon in like 10 restaurants doing bacon-centric dishes. And yeah, we had about 400 people. I think when we do it again this year, we're going to hand out Lipitor as they enter. So it's, but I mean, what a wonderful concept. I mean, everybody knows that bacon is nature's most perfect food, along there with beer. So it's kind of perfect.
I have to say, I like that. Is Beer Zone going to be doing that sometime too? Beer Run?
I don't know. It sounds like a great idea, though, for sure. Right. I wish I could have gone to that.
And again, beerzonetours.com. I know nothing about them other than that the gentleman doing it is a friend of Sean McCord. Sean McCord, obviously a friend of the show. So
nice we'll, plug.
That's right. It's a couple. It takes less than how many for what's his name? The guy. Kevin Bacon. Ooh, and here comes Bacon once again. It all works together.
Kevin Bacon is, I think, what he was going for there.
See how that works? See, and I've only had three minor sips of beer, and I've already, you know, We've already lost all sensibility on the program. We are talking about specialty beers. Hugh Sisson from Clipper City Beer, owner and founder from Baltimore, Maryland. Mark Smith, high-quality beer consultant in Virginia Eagle Distributing around the area.
Well, I want to say this. One of the beautiful things that they're doing is this Mutiny Fleet that I touched on before. And I think it took a while for the East Coast to kind of catch up with the West Coast on this, but they're doing these 22-ounce bottles, which is basically, you know, like having two 12-ounce bottles of beer. And they're high gravity, you know, the once again, to the marketing, you
what
know.
What do you mean high gravity?
High alcohol content.
It means I can't
content.
Pick it up very
no,
fast.
It definitely weighs about the same, but, you know, the alcohol is more in them, and all the Mutiny Fleet are about 10%. But, you know, it's the kind of thing that doesn't sell real well in a lot of restaurants at this point. But, you know, if you go to a grocery store and see one, you know, you're not having to buy a six-pack. You know, if you're going to try something new, you can just pick up one of these, and it's like having two beers. And when you think about it, like, if you put a bottle that size next to a wine bottle, you can buy the best beer in the world, you know, with the same size packaging as wine for, like, under $20 a bottle. Whereas, I mean, if you think about the best wine in the world, like, you know, it won't even come close. So, you know, the beer industry is really, you know, they're putting themselves on the shelf next to the wine people now, and people are taking notice. And, you know, I think on the West Coast they noticed a long time ago, but here on the East Coast now, when you go to the beer and wine shops or the high-end grocery stores, you're going to see, like, Hugh Sisson's Mutiny Fleet, or you're going to see, like, the Legend, you know, products out of Richmond. And, you know, it doesn't seem so, you know, outrageous to buy a $10 bottle of beer, you know, when you're looking at a $50 bottle of wine, and, you know, you're taking a lot less of a risk on getting that beer as opposed to getting a red wine from, you know, California that you've never heard of or never seen before. So I really think that the, you know, the 22-ounce bottles are beautiful, and I'm a huge fan of them. Like, one of those bottles at the end of the night is a perfect nightcap, just about any night that I can think of.
With a BLT, right? 11:52 on the wake-up call. Let me thank Blue Ridge Mountain Sports for putting us on the air today. If it's keeping warm and having fun in the outdoors this winter, Blue Ridge has the gear for you. Whether your outdoor adventure is winter running, hiking, climbing, or snowshoeing, you'll find Blue Ridge Mountain Sports in the Barracks Road Shopping Center here in Charlottesville, the Mountain Inn at Wintergreen, online, brms.com. Mark, you said this to me, that the recession would boost craft beer sales. How is that possible? Because to me, it's you're gonna buy something less expensive.
Well, that wasn't exactly what I said, but what I said
correct
was
me.
that I think that during this recession, a lot of people are taking a lot less expensive trips and buying a lot less expensive products and things like that. And so to kind of balance that out, they're spending a little bit more on something that's less expensive, like a beer, so that they can, you know, enjoy some, you know, the best things in life at home for, you know, a more reasonable price. So I certainly don't think that the craft brew industry has been hurt as much by the recession as a lot of other industries have, you know, which is obvious. And, you don't hear of microbrews or craft brews closing down every day during this recession.
All right, Hugh, I'm going to put you on hold. All right. So you'll be able to hear us. I got a call coming in from somebody who wants to come through. All right. So hang tight.
Hello?
Jen, I'm on the line with
yeah,
you.
Yeah, hold on. I knew I'm going to screw that up. I think I just hung up on Hugh. Ellen, are you there?
Yes, I am.
All right, question or comment?
I was calling to comment on the bacon and microbrew combination.
Yeah.
And I would also like to point out that wine makes a very fun pairing with bacon as well. Particularly Australian Shirazes. Are excellent, and I'd also like to encourage your listeners to invest in some Spanish wines that are about the same price as these.
Ellen, are you a wine distributor?
22s that Mark is speaking so highly of.
Yes.
But they also represent a very good bang for your buck.
All right.
At the end of the night.
Thank you, Ellen. Well, I Mark and I like to spread our alcohol around.
That's right.
Thank you, man.
And bacon.
Sorry, what was that?
We like to taste many things at the end of the day.
We're not begrudging wine.
Nope, not at all. All right, thanks.
All
And I'm pretty sure I hung up on Hugh Sisson, who hopefully will forgive me and dial back up. It is 11:55 on the wake-up call. Just a minute or two left. This is WNRN Charlottesville, WNRS-FM Sweetbriar, Amherst, Lynchburg.
I'm not positive, but I think that was Ellen Taylor Hewitt, who is a local wine distributor.
Yes, I got that feeling. Hugh Sisson back in action with me. Yeah. Sorry about that.
No problem.
Technological things like pushing two buttons at a time, really. Unless it's other people, I can push other people's buttons fairly emphatically, as any female I've ever dated can.
Typically, he doesn't have three beers in him by this point.
Yeah, that's true. And by the way, it's not three full beers; it was three little shot glasses of beer. All right, real quick here, because we just have about 4 minutes left before Drew Thompson comes on for Les Temps Purdue. Seasonal beers. That seems to be one of the trends, is a seasonal beer. It used to be everyone had their flagship beer, which I've learned today to be the proper name for that. Your number one beer. And then you might bring in a couple other beers, much like Clipper City has done. Variety, we tasted Peg Leg.
Their stout.
The stout, which was the Winter Storm.
The Winter Storm is their winter seasonal, or one of them. They have several, actually.
So, Hugh, what
gives with all these seasonals?
Yeah, I mean, because it seems to everybody. I know that we had Andrew Miller on to start with Magic Hat, and I know that that's one of the things that the Virginia Eagle group is now doing, is they have the Magic Hat number 9 as their flagship, and they're just now bringing in their seasonal beer. Star Hill has always had their seasonal beer, the spring, summer, winter, fall. What's up with this?
Seasonal beers have actually been around for quite a long time. I mean, probably the original seasonal beer is Oktoberfest beer, which goes back about 400 years to, believe it or not, a wedding and harvest festival in Bavaria. Holiday seasonal beers have been around for many years as well. It was sort of small breweries' way of thanking their customers for supporting them over the course of the year. And other things have sort of evolved. It goes back quite a long time. You've got spring beers, the Maibox, and things along those lines. The craft beer consumer, interestingly enough, seems to be really plugged into, what do you got new? So pulsing the market with a number of seasonal beers, one, keeps things interesting for the brewery and the brewers, which is always a good thing, and two, keeps things interesting for the customers. So it does definitely create some complexity in the distribution and the retailing side, but I think as long as you manage it carefully and don't end up, having 500 cases of Oktoberfest beer left over in February, you can do a pretty good job with it, and anything that keeps the consumer interested is great. To take an allusion to what we said earlier about the wine industry in this country moved from being commodity to a serious product marketing contender when they introduced the romance of wine. And seasonal beers are one way that the beer industry keeps the romance involved in the beer business.
Hugh Sisson, Clipper City Beers in Baltimore, Maryland. You mentioned not having too many, but how do you make something new without putting your best foot forward?
Well, we always put our best foot forward.
I understand that Clipper City would, but there are many beers that have multiple seasonal beers, or every year it's a different flavor for that particular season. And you would think, many people would think that at some point that can't be the best beer that they would have made.
I don't know. I mean, a lot of this is pretty subjective. Something that would absolutely, move my world might get an absolute, yawn from somebody else. So you have to keep in mind that, it's very subjective. Everybody's different. You even mentioned earlier how you've never even been into a Starbucks other than to buy a newspaper. So if I have a coffee-flavored beer, that's probably not going to remove your world.
After beer number three.
So, I'm sorry?
Beer number three, I can
right.
have that.
So, it's a lot of it's just kind of keeping things fresh, keeping things exciting. I can't say that none of us make mistakes every now and then, because that's the nature of the beast. You know, there are times when you look up and it's what's the classic term? It was a great idea on paper.
Right.
So there will certainly be that. But if the brewery is consistently focused on quality and they keep things with a proper perspective, and I happen to think sort of a sense of humor as you go forward, I think things will work pretty well.
Hugh Sisson here from owner and founder of Clipper City Beer in Baltimore, Maryland. Hugh, thank you so much.
My pleasure.
And I look forward to when Mark Smith drives me up there for our night out on the town.
Well, we can do that, or I'll be down in Charlottesville at some point.
Even
like
better.
Charlottesville.
Even better. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Cheers, Hugh.
Mark Smith here. Grateful Dead and Friends on Saturdays. Virginia Eagle, high-quality beer consultant.
That's
Monday
right.
through Friday. Show will be podcast. Catch us up. I'll be glad to pass any information or questions along that you may have. Next week, my particular favorite show, even though this is now number two of the year, Santa Claus will be in the studio calling the kids.
Ho, ho, ho.
Be ready. All right, Drew Thompson up next. Thank you, Mark.
Cheers.
This has been your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday. And by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane, Exxon gasoline, and the markets of Tiger Fuel. Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the management, staff, or board of WNRN. You can contact Rick at abstractme@AOL.com or at wakeupcall@WNRN.org. The wake-up call is produced by Sean McCord. Tune in again next Sunday morning at 11 for the Wake Up Call, only on WNRN.